You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, what's up? Tadano and LZ, our boy Scotty Caps hanging out with us today. Hope you voted on election day. And speaking of voting, Cap, did you finally go vote? Because we know you were so anti doing the mail-in thing. You wanted to go in and do it the old school way. Did it work out?
It did. Jorge Sedano, hermano numero uno, hola. George, yes, I did, man. I actually, this morning, 6:45 a.m., George, nice. I went to the polling place. There were about 7 to 10 people in line in front of me. Everybody was wearing a mask. Everybody was socially distant.
Good.
And I waited. I filled out whatever paperwork I needed to. Not, I mean, I had been registered, but they wanted your name and address and everything else. I walked in. I went to some guy who was there volunteering. Thank you to all the volunteers out there. That's something I would never do, but thank you for doing what you do. And I got my ballot, George, and I swear to you, I stood there. I stood there and I looked, George, it's not that I was really indecisive. It's just that I was like, wow, here I'm finally here. Pen's in my hand.
Yeah.
Ballot's right there. Wow. It's time to make a decision.
Right.
Now, there are a lot of people running for president in America that I've never heard of.
It is not just Joe Biden and Donald Trump. Right. Yes. There are a lot more people there that I'd never heard of them either, to be honest with you.
So. I just thought that it would be an interesting thing that if you spent a lot of time, energy, and money to get your name onto the ballot, which seems like an incredibly difficult thing to do, that you might want to expose the rest of us to who you are. I didn't know who anybody was from the Lib Party. I didn't know what the PF Party was. I literally thought, you know what I was going to say, right? I was going to order from Chang's. The AI Party I thought was Allen Iverson. Then I thought it was artificial intelligence. I didn't know what any of these parties were. So... If it were me and I were running in the GRN party, I would want to let people know who I am. That's just the thought.
Yeah, I'm with you wholeheartedly. I agree totally. So I'm glad you were able to get it done. I'm glad we didn't have to call you or get you the mobile app, you know, to be able to get on the show. I'm glad we're all good and things are good to go now.
I gotta say that one thing, George, that maybe I'm kind of like trying to resolve my own personal emotions about all of this.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm wondering if I really only voted just to get the sticker.
Well, it does give you some clout, it feels like, right? Like, it's just like, hey, we've got this thing done. Like, I did this thing that everyone's doing. I did my, duty, basically. Yeah. That's kind of the way you got to feel about it. So.
Yeah, I feel like if I don't have a sticker, I get vote shamed.
Right, you do. And you know what? I'm okay with it, to be honest with you.
I did speak to one friend this morning, though. I said, who are you going to vote for? Or I said, when are you going to go vote? Or have you voted? He said, I'm exercising my right to not vote. And I said, oh, okay. He said, what does it matter? What does it really matter in the state of California? What's it matter? I said, all right. Hey, again, to each their own.
Don't complain.
So don't
complain. There's a lot of, by the way, beyond the presidency, and we don't have to get on to this for too much longer because we've got NBA news. There are a lot of props. And boy, did I have to do some studying on those things. There's a lot of things that affect the residents here in the state of California beyond just the presidential election. So,
right on.
Speaking of decisions, the NBA is trying to make a decision with the NBA Players Association. You and I discussed this a little yesterday. Now, Shams Charania of The Athletic is reporting this, that there are two scenarios on the table at the moment. December 22nd, which is what we discussed, the week leading up to Christmas, 72 games, regular season ends in mid-May, finals finish around July 22nd, and then you'd have the draft and free agency basically in August and maybe summer league if, you know, there's a vaccine, right? Mm-hmm. And you'd get the Christmas revenue, which is big, okay? And the game revenue, which is big, right? The added games. If they start on January 18th, 60 games, regular season ends in June, finals end around August 21st, you're still doing okay because you're just running up against, in theory, maybe some NFL preseason. Not terrible per se, But you're losing a lot of money there if you're the players and the owners, because this isn't just about the owners losing money. The players are going to lose money too if there's less games. Everyone loses money if there's less games. And I just think ultimately, Scott, you know, I am a firm believer, okay, that you shouldn't make a decision solely based on money, okay? But I do think that when you're talking about billions of dollars, okay? Now, I've taken jobs, right, where I've said to myself, you know what, this job may pay more than this job, but, you know, the difference aren't millions and billions of dollars. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's good money, right? Like, it's money that I, you know, that helps me live, helps me put, you know, take care of my family, you know, an extended family, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it's not that. There's a lot, and there's a lot of people involved. Like, when I'm deciding between a job, or any of us are deciding between a job, it's ourselves and basically our immediate family. In this situation, there's 450 players. There's a whole league full of employees, right? Probably 100 plus employees. Plus the teams have employees, over 100 plus employees on each team, and there's 30 teams, right? There's a lot of people involved in the basketball economic wheel here. And man, I just don't think, considering after everything that transpired, the ratings being down and everything that they had to endure, and God bless them that they were able to endure all the stuff that they dealt with in the bubble, I just think you got to suck it up and get right at this thing, man.
George, so, okay, I feel like I could probably make a decent enough argument on both sides. But if I were a player, and when I say a player, I don't mean LeBron or AD. I'm not talking about Harden or right. or the truly upper echelon players, the guys yeah. that are making the really big life-changing, generational kind of money. Take those guys out of the equation for a minute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But talk about the middle of the road guy. So if I'm the middle of the road guy in the NBA, and I'm just, listen, I was a second round draft choice. I've played on five different teams right. in 6 seasons. I've bounced up and down, you know, and I've had to go to Europe at some point. I'm
or
just
the G League, right? Like an Alex Caruso. He's the perfect example.
He's the exact guy that I was going to try and be. I'm Alex Caruso now. And look, we won a championship, and I feel great about everything, and I banked some money. But the reality is, if LeBron asks me to go on vacation with him in the offseason, I can't keep up. So unless LeBron is taking me on vacation, we're in different financial stratospheres, even though we're in the same locker room. Can we yeah. agree on that?
Agreed.
Okay. So for me, if I'm a player, here's what I want to get to the bottom line. I don't want to hear about this number of games, that number of games, this start date, that start date, this finish, this finish. It's real simple for me. How much am I going to make in option one, and how much will I make in option two? And if in option one, the difference is 25, 30, 40%, I want to go with wherever I can make the most money. So if it means I've got to start playing and we've got to go to training camp, and look, here we are. What's today's date? Does anybody know?
Today's November 3rd.
I should absolutely know that because it's Election Tuesday.
Right. Yeah.
Wait a second. I'll go a step further. It's my daughter's 14th birthday. How do I not know the date?
Yeah. Hopefully she's not listening then.
Maybe I should call her and wish her a happy birthday.
Probably.
Anyway, so look, all I'm saying is that if I'm a player, I'm looking at what is the difference in the money. And if the difference is really significant because I'm a middle-of-the-road guy and I'm hanging on and I'm not making LeBron money, I'm playing wherever I can make the most money.
877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. What do you want from the NBA players? If you're a Lakers fan, do you want them to rest, play less games, and start in mid-January? Or do you want them to take advantage of Christmas, play the most games possible? Hit us up, 877-710-ESPN. Coming up next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yankee Doodle. Techno Yankee Doodle. I never thought I'd ever... Listen, I've heard a lot of EDM music over my years, okay? I've heard a lot of techno songs. I don't think I've ever heard Yankee Doodle done techno.
That'd be a good one for 4th of July.
Yeah? Yeah, with the fireworks going off.
Right.
Yeah. Not necessarily sober either, perhaps.
No, I have like this whole picture in my head now of like, remember like those old Madonna videos where she would have like some kind of bustier and then sparklers coming out of her chest, you know, like I see people in like an Uncle Sam costume, you know, the same deal.
Yeah. Do you remember that movie she did, Truth or Dare?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. It was like a documentary style.
Hmm.
Yeah, and it was just like her with her dancers talking about sex all day. But she was by far, like it's I'm not trying to demean like Lady Gaga or any of the folks or any of the ladies who came after Madonna, but like Madonna was doing crazy stuff. Like literally, she was the most controversial like performer maybe of all time, but certainly of that time. Like crazy, like religious groups, political types hated, you know, disliked her, very much like the rap community here in Southern California, right? Like NWA was also treated the same way. She got similar treatment. Like the people at the top of the food chain from a political and religious standpoint were just down on her and the rap community back
and
then.
And then she went after the sports community because
right.
Remember, Rodman was trying to be more than just a basketball star. Right.
And Canseco.
Yeah, Canseco was Canseco before Rodman? I think so.
I think it was before Rodman. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then didn't she also kind of work over A-Rod back in the day?
There was a late in her days. There was an A-Rod, a young A-Rod. Yes. Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually at a Madonna concert that A-Rod was at in the front row. I was not in the front row, but he was in the front row.
I was once at a concert, and there were 15,000 people there, and A-Rod was in the front row, and I was way in the back.
I was not way in the back. I did have floor seats at the stadium, but he had he was like at least 30 rows ahead of me. but he was there. That was when they were a thing for a minute there.
That's when you can tell people, you're like, yo, I was with A-Rod last night. Oh, really? Yeah. What were you guys doing? We were at the Madonna concert.
Well, I have been with A-Rod. A-Rod is a friend of the program here, so I have been around A-Rod a little bit, but... I actually celebrated a birthday with A-Rod once. Not mine, his. In New York one time. But anyhow.
Wait, you're gonna leave it there? We're not going to get more? I mean, we're going to just hear that and go, oh, wait.
I mean, George, does anyone want to hear me talking about going to dinner with A-Rod? Like,
anywhere? How'd that happen? How did that happen?
This was pre-J-Lo. We know each other from Miami. You know what I mean?
Okay, I'll go with that. Yeah, keep going.
And then, like, you know, when I started working at ESPN, you know, he was still with the Yankees and he was going through his... So basically, he was going through the PED scandal at that time. Right. And remember, he was doing these interviews with like Mike Francesa in New York or whatever and going on. So I was doing First Take one day, and I just said, look, man, let's just call this what it is, whether it's A-Rod or Roger Clemens or any of these guys, but specifically A-Rod. He is the deer mantle on Bud Selig's wall. Like, that's what this is. And you know, let's be transparent here. So I hadn't heard from him in a minute, and then all of a sudden I heard from him.
He called you up.
Yeah, he was like, yo, thank you. And I was like, yeah, man. I mean, I that's how I feel. Like, I feel like I would vote all the steroid guys in. That's just
so would
me.
I mean,
yeah.
Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, all of them. Put them all in. So he says, hey, I really appreciate you having my back on the air. You said,
yeah, so
well,
we
that's
just,
the way
we,
I feel.
We became friendly again. We just, that's it. And that was it. And then, you know, months or a year or something down the road, we went out to dinner and he was like, hey, it's my birthday. We're going to hang out at this restaurant. You want to come? And I was like, yeah. So
who else is there?
It was a small group. It was just like couple of his friends. From where he grew up with, his publicist, who's also Jay-Z and Beyonce's publicist, by the way, and then just like a couple of business associates and their wives, and the wives were there, and that was pretty much it.
All right,
we went to Rao's in East Harlem.
Okay, now I'm satisfied. By the way, when dinner ends, does A-Rod like physically at the table pay for the entire dinner?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, somebody did. I don't know. It wasn't me. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And that's like a cash-only business, that place, Rao's, the original.
Can I just
Rao's.
Ask a question? Did everybody know this story? I mean, Bergman, did you know this story?
No,
Laura,
not.
Did you know this story? Because once George tries to get off this story, like, hey, look, we got other things we're going to talk about. I don't want to turn it into a thing about me. I'm like, I want to hear more.
I feel like I should have known this story, and I've never heard it before, so I'm happy that you did that, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Sedano, how could you have not told that story before?
I mean, I am not necessarily one person. I like to be right a lot. I think everyone understands that. I don't like to talk about my personal life very much in the sense of
Say that again.
Yeah, one more time.
Oh, I like to be right a lot.
Yeah, I'm going to get that as a drop.
It's funny you say that you don't want to talk about your personal life a lot because the way you made it sound at the beginning was like, so, A-Rod called me. Now, says, hey, let's go out for dinner. And then you say, and this was pre-J-Lo. And you made it sound like the two of you guys, it was just you and A-Rod.
No, it was a thing. It was like a small group of people.
Yeah. Very nice, by the way. Very, very nice of A-Rod to make that.
Very nice. A-Rod has always been very kind to me and this show. He comes on whenever we ask him to come on, and we're always very appreciative of
it. Did you guys go to high school?
I've always been just cool with him.
Are you guys high school same time? Because, you know, he was the biggest star going.
He was 2 years older than I am. Okay. Yeah, but we didn't, you know, we didn't know each other really until I got into media, and then he was already a star and all that kind
of
stuff.
So. All right, I got it. All right, well, there's a lot of old school Miami brotherhood between the two of you guys. I mean, you, A-Rod, and Pitbull, that's I want to join that foursome.
Right there,
yeah,
yes.
That's the foursome I want to play with.
Yes, dale. You know, speaking of wanting to play with, you played in the NFL. You did get on a roster. Did you not? You were on some teams. Yes,
I was one of those guys who was a free agent kicker,
right?
Who was just every summer just begging somebody to sign me and bring me to training camp. And then, you know, I would either try and hurt the guy who was also on the team, or I'd try and act like I was hurt just to make the team. So, I mean, yeah, for like a cup of coffee with a little bit of cream, tiny little bit of sweet and low, yeah, I was there for a little bit.
Dude, that's more than a million, you know, millions and millions of other people can say. Very few people listening to us right now can say that. So, I think that's, first of all, that's awesome, and people should know that. Second of all, if I'll ask you this. If you had to pick one of these three quarterbacks to be your quarterback right now, which would you pick? Jared Goff, Justin Herbert, or Derek Carr?
Justin Herbert, 1. Jared Goff, 2. Derek Carr, 3.
Really? Why Derek Carr, 3? I'm curious.
Because of the three that you've given me a choice of, I feel like Jared Goff still might have upside. Derek Carr... I think is going to be in the same class ultimately when his career is over as a Matthew Stafford. I'll go back a generation, a Carson Palmer. I think a Tony Romo. I really think that Derek Carr is going to have a career that you're going to be super proud of. You're going to say this guy played in the NFL for 12 years or 15 years and he's going to rack up a ton of statistics, and people might even 5, 6, 7 years from now, have a conversation about, is Derek Carr a Hall of Famer just because of the yards and the touchdowns, because of the longevity? Just play it out with me. But I don't know that Derek Carr is going to take his game to another level from where he is right now. Hopefully I'm wrong, by the way. I like Derek Carr a lot, and I'm a big John Gruden fan. So hopefully Gruden can turn Derek Carr into a Super Bowl champion. But if he isn't a Super Bowl champion, I think we've seen what you can expect from Derek Carr with Goff.
A ceiling for sure. I can understand that. All right, let's talk Raiders with our boy Paul Gutierrez, who covers the Raiders for ESPN. He's part of our NFL Nation reporting group. We will talk to him in 2 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Sedano and LZ with you. Scotty Caps hanging out with you. Paul Gutierrez, who covers the Raiders for ESPN, will join us in just a moment here. It is National Sandwich Day today, Cap. Did you know that?
I didn't know that it was National Sandwich Day. I should have a sandwich today.
What is your favorite sandwich? Like, what is the go-to sandwich when you're hungry? You're like, I need to go and get me one of these.
All right, I hate to admit this because I'm gonna get like food guilt, I think. But I really like the Jersey Mike's California Club because they've got such great crispy bacon. I could eat that entire vat of bacon they've got there.
So good. You know? Bacon. Anything with, you had me at bacon.
Mm-hmm. How about you?
Basically. You know, I'm going to go, like, my favorite now, does, like, a burger count as, like, a sandwich?
No. Burger,
no?
Not a sandwich.
So,
no.
Like, I can't do, like, a patty melt?
A patty melt is a sandwich. A burger is not a sandwich.
Okay, but okay, so a patty melt, I feel like patty melt is like in the burger family because it's still a burger in there, you know?
It is, but a patty melt doesn't come on a hamburger bun. A patty melt comes on a piece
rye
of bread.
Rye bread, yeah.
Yeah, rye bread that's got like butter all over it and then right. is like crisp, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's different.
So that's my go. I don't do it very often. Obviously, for obvious reasons, because of all the things you just outlined. but yeah, I love me a patty melt.
Patty melts are good. They really are. That starts to get me into other kinds of sandwiches, like hot pastrami on rye. You know, like hot pastrami on rye is a good sandwich. Doesn't need a lot either. Doesn't need a lot on it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you wholeheartedly. Gosh, man, Greg, what is your go-to sandwich?
I go with the same thing every time. It is rye bread with Munster cheese and roast beef. I need the roast beef. It's delicious.
Is that all that's on there? Is the beef?
No,
and the cheese?
It's got tomatoes. It's got pickles. It's got onions. Yeah, like I go with the yellow mustard. I don't use the deli mustard. I like the yellow mustard. And that's a good sandwich right there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Laura,
people who like sandwiches are they just love to talk about sandwiches.
Because it's important. And lettuce. You got to forget. Don't forget the lettuce.
Love turkey. I love the turkey club. Mm-hmm. That's my go-to.
Turkey club's good.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey club is good. Well, again, bacon.
Right. I just don't want the third piece of bread in any of those sandwiches. Like, you know, sometimes they give you the top piece, the middle piece, and then the bottom piece.
Right.
I don't need the middle piece.
Yeah. I'm with you, too. I don't need the middle piece. Paul Gutierrez, who covers the Raiders for our NFL Nation here at ESPN, joins us now. Paul, before we get into the Raiders, Paul Gutierrez's go-to sandwich. Today is National Sandwich Day. What is your go-to sandwich?
You know what? I'm going to go with my wife's sandwich because she has a sandwich named after her up here in Petaluma. So the Amy G grinder. It's got chicken breast. It's got some cheese. It's got a little bit of pesto sauce. So I'm going to go with my wife's sandwich.
I love pesto on anything.
Oh my
and when
God.
If you take like a chicken breast with tomato and pesto and you put it on the right bread, like a little focaccia, really good.
Yeah. It's delicious. That sounds great. Paul, are the Raiders good? I'm just going to ask it flatly like that. Like, are they good?
Yeah, so we're going from sandwiches to just straight talking turkey, right?
I guess. Yeah, exactly.
You know, are they good? They are improving. And, you know, the saying in the NFL, guys, is always, you are what your record says you are. So they've got a winning record right now. They've got a couple of good wins. That win at Cleveland is nothing to look down at. The win against the Chiefs, that's huge. And then they beat the Saints as well. So, you know, it's the NFL is so interesting because every week is a season unto itself. So right now they're feeling good about themselves. They went to Cleveland. They handled business. They beat not only the Browns but the elements. They dominated the time of possession. They're a good team right now. And if the NFL does expand this thing out to 16 teams, 8 per conference, they're sitting there right now as an 8 seed with a couple of good wins over the Chiefs and the Browns for teams that they're chasing. So to answer a long-winded answer to your short question, I think they are pretty good right now.
Yeah, and you know, George, when you look at what the Raiders have done and just you say, okay, the wins that they can hang their hat on are the ones that Paul just talked about. You know, they have beaten the Chiefs, their only loss of the year so far, and they did go on the road and beat the Browns. There were elements. Look, Cleveland's got some injuries all of a sudden, but they've still got a record that makes people think, wow, are the Browns any good? The Rams don't have that. Like, the Rams just don't have a marquee win yet, so I'm with Paul here. The Raiders are improving, but what about the offensive line, Paul? I had read your report about Trent Brown. Can you explain to us what happened there?
Yeah, which one? The COVID test or the IV or the cast? I
mean, a lot happened to him. How about both?
I know. Yeah. This is crazy.
Yeah,
so, you know, but the most recent thing with Trent Brown is he came off the COVID list and he was ready to start. He was going to start right tackle for the Raiders. It would have only been his third game of the season. The season opener, he only played 3 snaps because of a calf injury. Then he played in the game at Arrowhead Stadium when they beat the Chiefs, and he was going to start here. But in the midst of getting an IV for hydration before the game, he had a reaction to it. NFL Network reported that it was air bubbles got into his bloodstream, and he got sick immediately, and medical attention had to be paid to him. He's wheeled out and spent the night in the hospital. And I'm told that he checked out and he was on his way back to Vegas. And if you look at his Twitter feed, he's back up and at him. So he doesn't address anything of football importance, so to speak, on his Twitter feed or his social media. But he's on there and he's active. And as John Gruden said yesterday, that's the most important thing is his health. They want to figure out exactly what went wrong, how that happened, and they'll go from there. He didn't want to say if he was going to play this weekend at the Chargers or not. But, you know, this is a very expensive offensive line that they really invested heavily in. And the projected starters going from left to right, Colton Miller, Richie Incognito, Rodney Hudson, Gabe Jackson, and Trent Brown, those guys have played a grand total of 3 snaps together this season.
Wow.
So it's something that it's a lot of hurrying up and waiting. But when they're on the field, they're pretty dominant. And it's just a matter of getting them on the field to actually do their jobs.
Paul Gutierrez covers the Raiders for us here at ESPN, joining us here on 710 ESPN. In regards to their defense, Paul, if you had to pinpoint one aspect that you feel like has improved over the last year, where would you point to?
Again, it's one of those things where it goes game to game. Last game, they were improved in the run defense. They were able to stop the Browns from doing what the Raider offense did, which is control the clock, grind things down, and do it that way. The pass defense is still suspect. The pass rush is non-existent. And getting turnovers has been an issue all year long, too. So it just kind of is one of those things where they put together kind of a master class at Kansas City. They harassed Patrick Mahomes. They made him uncomfortable. They made him not really, you know, pull the rabbit out of a hat like he seems to always do anyway. So from the defensive perspective, there's still a lot of work to be done in the pass rush, because at Arrowhead, they were able to just go with a 4-man rush, and they were, you know, Raiders of old, just 4 guys beating up the guy in front of them and getting to the quarterback. They haven't been able to rack up sacks thus far as we approach the midway point of the season for the Raiders. They've already had their bye. But the pass defense and the run defense, they kind of work hand in hand. But the run defense has been an improvement from previous years. But like I said, the pass rush is such a glaring deficiency that that's something they really, really need to address.
Paul, let me ask you a question that George just posed to me before you came on the air. And that is, if you had to pick between 3 quarterbacks right now, who would you take? Would you take Jared Goff, Justin Herbert, or Derek Carr? How would you rank those 3 guys?
Right now, I'm going to take Derek Carr simply because he does have a track record. And for the first time in his 7-year career, he's playing in the same offensive system for the 3rd straight year. It's something he's never done. And you're seeing the wheels turn with him now. Coming into the year, when they signed Marcus Mariota, you could have literally laid a bet at a sports book in Vegas and said, okay, what week is Mariota going to replace Derek Carr? Because to me, I've covered this team since 2005 or one way or another up in the Bay Area and in Las Vegas now. I also used to cover a lot of L.A. Raider games when Jay Schrader was there and Bo Jackson and Marcus and those guys. And to me, there's no more polarizing figure in Raider history than Derek Carr, because people either love him or they absolutely want to move on from him. And yet right now, he's the least of their problems. So when you throw those 3 guys up there, and I see what you do with the Chargers, the Rams, and the Raiders quarterbacks, the track record for Derek is a lot longer, and he's getting more and more comfortable in John Gruden's system. You see him extending plays by taking off and running. And he does have the arm talent. It's just a matter of him. He's not the gunslinger he used to be, but then again, this West Coast offense doesn't call for a gunslinger. It calls for more of a game manager, and I hate that. I know that's a dirty word, but you saw it on full display in Cleveland this past weekend.
Last one for you. Paul Gutierrez covers the Raiders, joining us here on 710 ESPN. How would you say Gruden has most evolved since coming back to coaching?
I think in the way he handles the quarterbacks. When he was around the first time, the quarterbacks were his favorite whipping boys, and you saw he and Rich Gannon getting into it on the sidelines, and Rich Gannon improved from it and for it. This is a different, these are the millennials, Generation Zs, I guess, or the millennials. He's got to handle the quarterbacks, Derek Carr in particular, with not necessarily with kid gloves, but with more of a kinder understanding, a kinder, gentler Chucky, if you will. And Chucky still comes out every now and again. But that was the one thing that Gruden definitely had to work on that first year, was not blasting Derek nonstop, because you don't know, does he need attaboys on the butt, or does he need a kick in the butt? And finding that that middle ground is exactly where John, in my opinion, has kind of found himself now in his second go-round, in his 3rd year in his second go-round.
Paul Gutierrez covers the Raiders for us, part of the NFL Nation group here at ESPN. Thank you, brother. I know you were running around with the kids. Thanks for squeezing us in, man. Thanks for the time, as always. Appreciate it.
All good, guys. Take care. And, yeah, I'm going to go grab one of those sandwiches right now.
Go do it. Yeah, for sure, man. All right, Paul Gutierrez with us here. Thanks to him for stopping by. Hey, coming up in about 3 minutes, we are going to give you what you need to know, including some interesting stuff in regards to the NFC West that's going on right now. And in right as the 5 o'clock hour starts, we are going to remember the 24th anniversary of Kobe Bryant's debut. All that stuff is coming up here in just a second.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What you need to know is brought to you by Morongo. Play it safe, good times. Kobe Bryant's debut was 24 years ago. We'll get to that in a second. But first, Scotty Caps, you're here today. And thank you again for joining us today on Election Day and National Sandwich Day.
Yeah.
A lot of COVID talk in the NFL. Andy Dalton will miss his next start. Not that the Cowboys, look, at this point, the Cowboys were a disaster regardless of who started. But also John Elway has also contracted the virus. It feels like the NFL's got a little Major League Baseball feel to it, where remember early in the Major League Baseball season, things were a little wild when it came to COVID, and they had to kind of figure out how to make it all work within their constructs. It feels like they're struggling right now at this point.
Well, I'll start off with this, George. Andy Dalton, poor guy.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 weeks ago, he got his head knocked off.
Yes.
I mean, like literally was going to the ground, and the defender from the Washington football team knocked his head clean off. The other players from the Washington team had their hands on their heads like, oh my God, I can't believe what he just did. So Andy Dalton goes from, oh my goodness, I'm the starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, to I just got my head knocked off, to now I've got COVID. So tough times for Andy Dalton. John Elway, you know, I don't know what people do in their when they're away from the building. Here's what I do know. Teams that go on buys, for example, the Rams or the Cleveland Browns, for example, their coaches can't leave. Their families can't leave. I mean, they're not bubbled, but they're told not to do anything. So I wonder what John Elway's been up to. But listen, this could get anybody at any time. You never know.
Yeah, for sure. You're listening to KSBN Los Angeles. And lastly, before we get on to Kobe and some big news in the NBA today for one of the Lakers' rivals, we'll get to that in a second. But the Bucks activate Antonio Brown. Scott, are you on the Antonio Brown bandwagon? Like, would you give him another chance if you were a general manager like the Bucks did?
Only one general manager can pull this off, and his name is Tom Brady. Look, I think Antonio Brown would be a major headache for everybody else. But if you're the Buccaneers and you're loading up for this year in particular, because the Super Bowl is at your place and you've got Tom Brady, you do everything you can to win. And Brady said, I got it, I'll handle it. And they said, but Tom, what happened in New England last time? That's Belichick. You know him. I'll let him move in with me. I'll have my security on him. I'll have cameras on him. Antonio Brown is my issue. And if you're Tom Brady and you want him, you get him.
Yeah, I agree. I think that there is a very specific scenario, and this happens to be that specific scenario. That's what you need to know, presented by Morongo. Play it safe, good times. So today is, and do you believe in numerology, Scott? Because today's the 24th anniversary of Kobe Bryant's debut, and obviously he wore the number 24, so there's a lot of stuff. Look, I still find myself, okay, and maybe there's people in the audience that feel that way too, and Greg and Laura, maybe yourself as well. I still find myself sometimes referring to him in the present tense, and it's been almost a year since he's been gone. It's just really weird. But man, like, do you find yourself doing that at all? You know, when referencing him, like you still reference by accident. You're like in the present tense, and then you're called. You know, you kind of catch yourself.
So yesterday we were talking about Danny Green, and how Danny Green had said that the reason that the Clippers didn't get it done this year, it was all karma. It was too much talk. It was all hype, whatever.
Yeah.
And I found myself saying this. Who is Danny Green? Seriously, what is Danny Green? Who is he? Magic Johnson? Is he? And I was the next words out of my mouth were Kobe Bryant. And I literally stopped myself from saying it because I was like, oh my God, it's such a natural thing to say. Mm-hmm. Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant. But in this context with which we were having this conversation, I didn't want it to come out sounding wrong. So the answer is yes, that I still have a hard time believing that Kobe Bryant, who was not only such a brilliant basketball player and had this electric smile and had recovered and rebounded his career after, you know, what had happened in the early 2000s and was known as such a great champion. And then, by the way, moved on to the next part of his life where he was dad and husband and movie producer and entrepreneur and all these other things that he was. And you think to yourself, man, he had so much more. And so, yes, I find myself oftentimes thinking present tense and forgetting that Kobe's not actually really here.
Greg, let's start with you. Do you find yourself catching yourself like that when you talk about him?
All the time. It's very difficult. I can't even bring myself to talk about him in the past tense. He's just Kobe. Everything is always present with him right now, and despite it being almost a year, like you said, he's just still alive to me. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is wild. Laura, do you catch yourself doing that too?
Yeah, 100%. I feel like for me, when I talk about him, it's still like he's here because that's how I feel. And I feel like maybe because I'm a huge fan. But even people that weren't fans of Kobe still feel like that. It just feels surreal. But then yeah. 2020.
Yeah. Now, when you think back to his like rookie year, like what kind of sticks out? Like, Scott, like what are your early memories of remembering Kobe Bryant, you know, on the day that, you know, today being the 24th anniversary of his debut?
You know, George, when I heard you say it, that it was the 24 years of his debut, I thought to myself, what do I remember about Kobe Bryant's debut? And my answer is nothing. Right. I don't remember anything from Kobe Bryant's debut. What I remember is before the draft, hearing about this kid who is playing in this Philadelphia suburb at this private school, Lower Merion High School. And if you know the area, you know that, listen, that's not a tough part of town, if you will. He was not playing in the inner city. He wasn't playing against the best of the best. He was playing against guys like you and me in high school. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We were his teammates. So I remember thinking, like, who is this kid? Why does this kid think that he's able to do this? He's not 6'11". He's, you know, he's a 6'5 guy. And right. So I remember before Kobe was actually drafted into the NBA. And then I think the one thing I really remember, I think probably a lot of people do as well, is the playoff series. I can see Del Harris sitting on the bench. And right. I remember thinking to myself, why is this kid who's like 18 or 19 at the time, why is he bombing away like that? Kid, give the ball up. But little did we know at the time
right.
that's who was inside of that body.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, he didn't score in his debut. He played 6 minutes. He only took one shot and he missed it. He had a rebound and a block in that particular game. But, you know, he had some moments, certainly, in his rookie year. I mean, people look back, you know, he averaged just under 8 points a game or whatever it was. But even in that playoff run, there's a lot of memories about, you know, and people will tell you, and he was one to tell you that these failures are what led him to be as great as he was, right? Like, we all remember the air balls against Utah, whatnot. But, you know, you also got to remember he had some big games in those playoff runs in that first season. He had like a 19-point game. He had like a 20-something point game on the way to that. Like, Greg, like, what are your early memories of Kobe as today is the 24-year anniversary of his debut?
I mean, it really was the air balls against Utah. That's what you remember the most. And what he brought himself to. It's funny, you were talking about how in the first game he went scoreless. You know, only 11 times in his career did he go scoreless in a
right.
game?
And that was one of them, yes.
Yes. I mean, that's crazy for a guy like
that. And
he
was 17. He wasn't even 18 yet.
No, I mean, he took one shot to go wow. scoreless. But still, to think about it that way, that only 11 times in his 20 years that he went scoreless, that's very hard to do. But I remember just the early, early games of the air balls, and I remember the 2000 in the three-peat with Shaq for the most part.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Laura, what sticks out to you of early Kobe Bryant as we remember kind of the 24th anniversary here of his debut?
So I actually didn't get into basketball till like 99. So for me, I don't...
So right before they started winning championships.
Yeah, but
Good timing.
No, well, because my dad, I was the one that kind of... like looked for it, because in my house it was boxing, typical Mexicanos, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
And baseball, so and soccer.
And soccer, probably.
Yeah,
right?
Soccer. Yeah. I hate soccer, but other than that, like those are the three sports that were in my house. And when people were talking about, you know, Michael Jordan, I was like, ooh. And that's how I got into basketball. So I didn't really fully understand the sport until like end of 98, 99.
How much grief did you get in your house for not liking soccer? Like, do you still get grief?
Yes. My mom always tells me I'm not a real Mexican because I don't like soccer. I'm like,
but,
I don't
but
care.
But yet you tell people they're not real Mexican if they like Taco Bell.
Okay.
Sounds pretty hypocritical. I mean,
really. I would agree.
I'm
going to
shut my mic off now and go to work.
So where's that? Where's my man in Gardena? Is it Manuel? Manuel in Gardena needs to call in to tell you if you didn't like that. You know, you gave him grief because he likes eating Taco Bell and he's Mexican and you don't like soccer. So I would imagine that he will be calling up soon to hit you up. Really,
can I just say one thing? I'm Jewish, okay? And I like Einstein's bagels. Now, I get it. It's not exactly, you know, the East Coast, New York City kind of bagel. I got it.
Yeah.
You know, it's California-ized. But still, Laura, mm-hmm. I mean, I can be a Hebrew brother and still like and still like Einstein's bagels, you know. So you can be, I believe, I don't know the unwritten rules, but I do believe you can be Mexicano and still te gusta Taco Bell.
Yeah.
I have mom's cooking at home, so I feel like...
No, but then this all started months ago, Scott, because I said that and look, Taco Bell's great, especially if you're late at night, it's open, right? You need something to eat, right? I get it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm in on all that. I'm in on Del Taco. My thing is, in regular normal hours, right, in non-pandemic world, okay, there are here in Southern California, there's so many great taco places that just fast food chains in general, not just isolating Taco Bell, but fast food chains in general, like I would be like, I'd rather just stop at a taco truck and get like the real stuff, you know?
I do know. Now, tell me about something I should know about called King Taco. George.
Oh, Laura's going to not love this. She thinks King Taco, it's an upgrade from like the American fast food, but it's still not as like authentic. Laura, is that the best way to describe it? As authentic as you would like it to be?
Yes. And I have Karen yelling in my ear about what? Yeah, I'm not a fan of King Taco. I will do Tacos El Gordo, which there's one in like, in Vegas, right, and there's one in San Diego, I believe, in TJ. But like that I would do. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm all in. Or Guisados, I'm all in on that.
Yeah.
You know, but like King Taco is like, you got to be really drunk. And that's your go-to. Cause
it's better than the Americanized versions, I would say. But it is fast food-ish is the way I would describe it.
I'm going to shock you right now. I would rather eat Taco Bell than King Taco.
Okay.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
A controversial statement right there.
That is controversial.
George, you talk about, really quick, you talk about fast food and, you know, times of day where you might order this. The other night, I don't know how this happened, but a friend of mine was trying to call DoorDash and like order a bunch of stuff. Did I tell you this? And wound up ordering like $250 of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, no.
I haven't had Kentucky Fried Chicken in like 25 years. Oh, my God. It was bomb. Oh, my God.
Kentucky Fried Chicken is good. I mean,
it's good.
Like, I grew up on Kentucky Fried Chicken. Every like, it was like there was a certain day during the week that mom and dad would be like, we're eating KFC today. And that was it. That's how we did it. And when, you know, I grew up in a very, you know, lower middle class neighborhood and lower middle class family. Parents worked multiple jobs, all that stuff. And there was a lot of fast food. There was KFC one night. Fridays we'd do burgers from like Burger King or McDonald's. And, you know, we'd do pizza one night and, you know, from Domino's or whoever, Pizza Hut or whatever it was. And
I know this. I understand.
And that's how we rolled. So I'm with you. I haven't had it in a long time either. But I love fried chicken.
God, I love fried chicken.
My favorite fried chicken place here in L.A., other than Roscoe's, is a place called Yardbird at the Beverly Center. It's a sit-down place. It's kind of a little fancy, but it's really good. And the drinks are fantastic. All right, coming up next, I didn't get to one of the Lakers' foes. One of the Lakers' rivals could be making a big move to compete with the Lakers. We'll tell you about that in just a second.